Blog Talk Radio.
You have emerged in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I saw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under I Ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common need. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
You have this black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We're tired of that, corporations hiring black. Denying the fact, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's CeeLo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Black power. Black power and power of people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you on the front lines right here in the hells and smells of North America. This is a privilege. It's a joy. It's an honor to talk to you from this communication device in this radio station called Black Power Radio. Thank you for being tuned in. As I ain't got to tell y'all, it's already going down, and it's happening all over the place. We bunkered in St. Louis, Missouri, battleground, battlefield earth, and I hope that you all are safe wherever you are. And wherever you're pulling us down from, wherever you're listening from, as major moves are happening on the ground, and we're taking time out and have to take time out to get you the exclusive and get you the real on what's going on. Because obviously it's not coming from CNN, from what I'm understanding and what I've been reported to, and it's not coming from MSNBC. It's not coming from none of them media outlets, and we don't expect them to tell you the truth of what's happening. But that's why we have platforms like this. So I tell a neighbor, tell a friend, Black Power Radio is on the air. So 8:05 Eastern Time, and the number to call, 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447, has been a murder. And really, in my eyes, A-Time is our people. I consider them assassination, state-sponsored terrorism, state-sponsored murder of our young brother. Supposed to start college today, Michael Brown. Now, he's already been vilified, already been slandered, falsely accused, reports of petty theft and whatnot. We'll deal with all of that. But at the end of the day, another mother's crying, another father's hurt. From my understanding, another child is without its father. Tonight, as we're talking, blood in the streets of Missouri. And I know some of you out there is kind of concerned, and you, some of you out there, telling us to stop, calm it down, cool it down. You know the Al Sharpton clan's trying to come in, and I understand that the Attorney Crumps and all of them is trying to come in. Well, goddammit, we ain't stopping a damn thing in self-defense. Let me be clear on Black Power Radio. In self-defense, our people have a right to self-determination. And a right to defend themselves when attacked by any aggressor. Now, after over 440 years in the hells and smells of North America, don't tell me my people can't respond and our people can't respond. However, the ancestors and that spirit that God forced in them guides them to respond when you shoot down our young brothers and sisters out there with no remorse, no regard. Brutalizing them, murdering them, killing them in the streets, in front of people. Talking about he came up out the store and was buying a cigarillo or whatever. Pig saying, young man took the thing, the cashiers we spoke to said he didn't take the damn thing. Without even getting into it. Got a cigarillo and the police stopped him. Talking about get off of the street and all this kind of madness. Young man just going to his grandmother's house. Grandmother lived right there in the area. Grandmother passed him up in her car, seen him. A few minutes before he was killed, heard the commotion, came out and saw a grandbaby on the ground dead in a pool of blood. And who answers for that? Who answers for him with his arms up? As so many of you teach in your classes, put your hands up, comply. Don't show resistance. Had his hands up. Police come out of his cruiser. From what we understand, allegedly fired his weapon, fired him. And then once it hit and his hands went up, he's on the ground and shot him again. No taser involvement, none of that. Make up and speculate on a story of some kind of scuffle in the damn police cruiser. Just bullshit. I got to call it straight. And here we are, on the ground trying to make sense of it, the people trying to make sense of it. But there is no sense to make of it. Disrespect to the family out there. Pigs telling the mama to be calm and all this disrespectful stuff. She's telling them, do you understand how hard it was to keep my baby in school, to keep him on the right path, to keep him focused to where he could graduate, and then to get him all the way to that point. And now, on today, where he was supposed to start his first day of college, he's stinking cold, waiting to be put into the ground. God damn it. Murder in Missouri. And some of us got to wake up out there. Because you thinking because you're not living in 1964 and you ain't living in 1970, you thinking it's not still on and popping. The same system that was in place then is in place now. Same system, same method of order, same methodology, all that's in place. Just different day and time. Some generations have passed with some new faces carrying on the same instructions, and sometimes it's Negroes in high places. You gotta wake up out there. Don't let what happened to Trayvon Martin happen in this case of Michael Brown. Don't you let the momentum die out there by some old bootlicking civil rights leaders out there. Yeah. Revolution is the only solution. Complete constructive change. Mm-hmm. Complete constructive change. We must transform completely what's happening in our community. We must do for ourselves out there. I have a host of, whole host of guests on with us, those that's on the ground and those that's from St. Louis and all kind of people. Got to hear from our national chairman in a few moments so he can make his statements on the issue. Got to hear from Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney General, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Must hear from CEO, billionaire businessman right out of St. Louis, Michael V. Roberts. We got to hear from other comrades. We got to try to hear if we can, if possible. I know she's busy. We want to try to hear from Brother Michael Brown's mother. I mean, I'm just saying it. It's so much happening. Y'all not getting it. I know many of you all are keeping up with my Facebook page and keeping up with what we're trying to put out here for you, but you're not getting the reality of what's happening. Tear gas fired on the crowd. Last night, tear gas. Gassing the women, gassing the children, just for a visual, candlelight vigils for peaceful demonstrations. We heard rubber bullets fired. Rubber bullets hit people and live ammunition, militarized. All-terrain vehicles, militarized police vehicles out there, even certain tanks moved in. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That damn Department of Homeland Security and all that stuff that was stockpiled, that's reserved up for Black people and people who will wake up to what's happening. I'm not saying that to scare you. That shouldn't scare any of you. Some of you sound scary as hell out there from what I'm reading. You're just scary. Talk all this RBG, all this revolution. You talk all this stuff on the social media, but then the shit go down and you're scared as a damn church mouse. It's not a time to be scared. It's not a time for sissies. It ain't no time for punks. It's a time for real strategy to put a stop to what's happening to our people at the hands of not only the state, but at the hands of our own people. But understand this. If you solve, and we solve state-sponsored terrorism, you solve black-on-black crime because they're interconnected. You can't solve black-on-black violence without solving state-sponsored terrorism against our people. Understand that. These people took the oath, constitutional oath, to serve and protect. But you ain't serving and protecting us. So I don't blame anybody out there. Let me be clear in my statements. And then National Chairman can make his statements, and anybody can make their statements who've got to make their statement. But I don't blame anybody out there for responding in self-defense. You're going to fire on the babies, fire on the women? I damn it, Walmart should have been tore up, blood-sucking capitalistic bastards. Quick Trip should have went down. All that. If we don't have nothing any damn way. Gentrification happening all over America and in the Black community. Any damn way, what do you have? You got to fight. You don't have no other alternative. Can't wish your way up out of this. Can't just pray your way up out of this. You can pray, but you got to pray and work. You got to pray and get up and answer your own prayer. Can't wish this thing away because it ain't going nowhere. Right on the heels of Brother Eric Garner, who was choked out by NYPD. And they classify it as a homicide like they've done in so many other cases. Now you got to deal with how they're going to rule on the situation. what kind of jury it's going to be, how they going to sway it, and will it sway in his favor, in the favor of the police, with a slight victory for Sister Renisha McBride, who was shot down, blasted in the face by a shotgun, looking for help out there. And now here you have Michael Brown in our face, what they call Mike. That's in our face now. And you want us to take that. We're supposed to take that. Why? Because we got a black president. Why? Black attorney general. Why? And then if we got that, tell their ass to stand up for us then. I don't see none of it. Don't expect none of it either. Wake up out there. Understand it's a real war going on. And we ain't talking about no Iraq, even though we know they're bombing Iraq right now. Know the Palestinians is engaged in battle right now. It's a war out here in the streets of America, North America, in the black communities. It's a war going on. And it's been going on. It's reached a boiling point. Make no mistake about it. This is a war. And it's not one that's going to stop anytime soon. Give a damn, like Minister Malcolm X said, give a damn about no odds. We don't want to hear you old handkerchief head Negroes talking about odds and talking about what the state got and what this one got and what that one got and how they going to do this. I want to hear that. I want to hear some soldiers with some heart and some warriors with some heart who got that Mau Mau spirit, who got that Viet Cong spirit, who got the spirit of those in the mountains of Afghanistan fighting back in self-defense when attacked. Don't tell me nothing about no God if your God ain't real in this type of situation. I'm going to show you some real spirituality, some real African spirituality in live form in 2014 and beyond. Sick of this, what's happening to our babies, because it ain't happening to nobody else's babies like this. Nobody else's teenagers like this. Where young black mothers and fathers had to now train their babies on how to walk down the street just going to the store. Don't forget, Trayvon Martin was going to the store in his people's neighborhood, going to get something for his little brother, Skittles or what have you. And he got stalked down out there by no good cold-blooded bastard, George Zimmerman, who I hope is somewhere out there choking right now in your own damn spit and strangling to death. Hide, bastard. Still on. Still on out there. We ain't forgot about Trayvon. We ain't forgot about Jordan Davis. Forgot about Sean Bell. We ain't forgot about none of them. Damn sure got to deal with this Michael Brown right in our face. It's bigger than St. Louis. It's bigger than the county. It's bigger than that. When is enough enough, and when did you finally decide to say I'm taking a stand for something bigger than myself? I commend all Panthers who's fighting when it's on the ground. All comrades, all warriors, all formations, all the Bloods, all the Crips, all the street tribes, proper title. All those who just care and give it there, commend all of you out here doing this work. It's a hard work out here. And it's going to intensify. Now, we're telling you straight up, as we prepare to open it up for our national chairman, telling you straight up, must form cop watches out there wherever you are. This is a national order, not only to the new Black Panther Party, but to black people and oppressed people of color in general, wherever you act. You must begin to police the police. Must take it back to the root of that pantherism. That's what you saw Dr. Huey P. Newton do in Oakland, California. Knowing the law, knowing the tactics, policing the police. You cannot rely on the police to just police your community with no checks and balances. You must understand citizen or civilian review board. You must understand being able to sway the political influence of your own community. You must understand, and we must understand, what it means to have officers who police your community and neighborhood that live in your neighborhood and community. See, they don't want to do that. See, that's why that, you know, that one allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly, that's why allegedly one police house went up in flames allegedly. They don't want to do that because when they mess up like that, somebody pays a price. As our Black Power General and Shining Prince, Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, said that if you saw blood and caskets roll in their neighborhoods and their communities, like you see it in their eyes, you know it would stop. You know it would stop. They don't want to be that close. They don't want to be that close. They want to be able to live on the outskirts like many of them do, like those who did this killing do. Live on the outskirts and come in and just police the community and leave back out. You must understand citizen influence or civilian influence, people influence on policing agencies in your neighborhood and force them to live in the neighborhood if they police and understand the politics of that neighborhood. Understand the inner workings of that community. Understand the people and interact with the people of the neighborhoods. This is important. Very important. Because our young black males and females are being criminalized. And every time now you see a young black male or female, if they got a hoodie on or otherwise, first thing that comes in that mind is it's a criminal. It's doing something wrong. Young brother Michael Brown shot down. Shot down in cold blood. First thing some of you want to holler is, what did he do wrong?
Yes. Yes.
What did he do wrong? Why the hell you didn't say, what did the police officer do wrong? See? It's criminalization. What did he do wrong? What did he take? What did he do? What did he say? Young man getting ready to go to college today. Working to be all he can be, as you all saying. Do the right thing, as they say. Wasn't no troubled teenager. Wasn't in no whole lot of stuff. Just a regular teenager trying to do the right thing. And now he's dead. So what do? We must organize. Michael Brown cannot organize for himself, but we must organize. And we're organizing here, but it will not stop. I don't want you all to think that just because it's going on in the state of Missouri and St. Louis, I don't want you all to think that it's going to just stop all of a sudden. And all of a sudden, a few days after the thing dies down, we just go stop. You better not get that lax. You better not get that lax. Another will be killed, and another will be killed, and another will be killed. You allow yourself to get that lax. Your babies, my babies, other children. Males, females, adults, it won't stop. It won't stop. But you got to get that fear up out of your heart. You got to be willing to have the kind of courage that Fannie Lou Hamer had in the South. You got to have the kind of courage that Harriet Tubman had in the South. You got to have the kind of courage that Sojourner Truth had in the South. You got to have the kind of courage that Sister Ida B. Wells had in this hour. You must have the kind of courage that Robert F. Williams had in this hour. You must have the kind of courage of a Marcus Garvey in this hour. You must have the kind of courage of a Elijah Muhammad in this hour. You must have a Malcolm X courage and a Louis Farrakhan courage and a Huey P. Newton courage and a Bobby Seale courage and a Bobby Hutton courage and a Fred Hampton courage. You got to have that kind of courage. You won't be able to rely on any ancestors or old leaders to help you in this hour. Can't do it. Martin Luther King Jr., as much as he would want to, as much as he would try, he can't help you in this hour. All you can do is follow his example. But you must stand in this hour. You are the change that you're looking for out there. Wherever you're listening to me at, whatever the conditions are that we're facing, you're the change out there. The people are making a difference on the ground. And they're trying to crush the movement as it's understandable because they want to retain the state power. They want to be able to execute our babies in the streets. And nobody do a damn thing. And nobody say a damn thing. And nobody make a damn move. But to hell with that. To hell with that. You so scared to lose your life, you're going to lose your damn life anyway. Live your life. Fight for your life. Just scared of death. Scared of everything we're going to do. We're going to get killed. Or they got this kind of gun and that kind of gun. And nigga, you got all kind of guns in the hood. It's all kind of guns y'all got to kill a nigga, as you call him, or a black man or woman. You got them kind of guns. You won't use your gun for Michael Brown. Won't use your gun for Trayvon Martin. Won't use your gun for Renisha McBride. Should be all kind of people out there when you see them harassing our babies in the streets. Shouldn't even allow them to get the damn taser out the damn holster. Should be one man on one side, another person on another side, another person on another side. Shouldn't be able to even deal with all of us. Damn it. Gotta get the fear up out of you. New Black Panther Party, hold the Vanguard line out there. Wherever you at. Hold the Vanguard line out there and don't break the line. Use all kind of strategy and all kind of tactics, but don't lose the Vanguard position. Be a Vanguard for your people. Take the front line. Be an example for your people and show them what they can do in self-defense. Show them how to resist oppression in 2014. That's worse than the oppression that our people faced in 1964 and 55 and 45, because at least they understood they were not free. At least they understood they were Jim Crow. At least they understood that there was still something to fight for. But so many are bootlicking and bamboozling this out that all you worried about is a good seat at the table. And all you worried about is some little trinkets and some little televisions and some little cars and some shoes and just some little comforts. And you don't give a damn until it affects your family. I'm going to wake you up and we're going to wake you up real quick. Movement is sweeping the nation because we care. Not because we're haters or hateful. It's because we care. We put our lives on the line and our necks on the line because we care. Because we're concerned, because we love our people, and we're willing to go the distance to see our people rise from the mental grave, the economic grave, the spiritual grave. Our people are able to rise and see a brighter day in America and otherwise, because there's some people out here that's sacrificing, and now we need some others to take that line and sacrifice. Fall in. Fill up the ranks of the new Black Panther Party. Fall in wherever you are. And help us move this program all across the nation, because there's issues like this and others all across the nation. See, this is just emblematic and symptomatic of a deeper issue in America. What happened to Michael Brown happened because most of the American people, the American establishment, is comfortable killing black men and black women. Comfortable with that. But if this would have happened in the Jewish community, you already know what time that is. You know them Jews would have been up in arms defending their little babies and defending their teenagers. And the cop wouldn't have been, the pig wouldn't have been on paid administrative leave. He'd have been fired and probably ran out of town by sundown. You just taking some little trinkets. Well, he's on paid administrative leave, and the FBI said they were going to investigate the scenario, and Al Sharpton said he's going to come in, and he's going to raise some funds, and Trump's going to come in and do this, and I don't give a damn about none of that. Give a damn about none of that. Everybody got their role, but that's not our role. We don't need you coming around trying to crush the fire of the people that has burned for hundreds of years. The fire of our ancestors that's in our people don't need you to quench that. And I'm telling you, any of you who hit the ground, civil rights and otherwise, trying to quench the fire, the revolutionary burning fire of a people who yearn to breathe free and see a real change in America and throughout the world and in our community in particular, you might just get your behind whipped on stage out there wherever you at. I'm trying to warn you ahead of time. I'm trying to warn you ahead of time. If you come here talking that nonsense, may get chased out of town because we're not trying to hear that old camera chasing rhetoric. That old give me, can you have, can you spare, give me some money rhetoric, and you run back to your little cubbyhole like a little punk sissy coward. It's not time for that. It's time out for that. That's a message and a warning to anybody with that kind of thought in mind, because I already see the rumblings and we already see what's happening. And I'm just giving you all fair warning and fair advancement. It's not that kind of time. It ain't that kind of party. You ambulance chasers will get chased out of town. I know how they do, as we're taught. As we're taught, they always would trot out some bootlicking, buck-dancing Negro to try to calm you down. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you just put it in God's hands. And oh, I'm trying to warn you now. I'm trying to warn you now. So we must organize. We must organize for justice for Michael Brown and his family, his daughters. We must organize. Steal for Renisha McBride's out there. Steal for the Sean Bells out there. We must organize for Anthony Hills out there. We must organize for our people. The time is now. All of you cats out there talking about when the revolution comes, call me. Get up off your lazy ass. Talking about give me a call when the revolution comes, and the revolution right in front of your face. Revolutionary conditions all around America. And the state firmly securing its plans to put down any rise, as J. Edgar Hoover said, of a black messiah. Firmly securing its plans to put down the rise of black power, black nationalism, and black understanding, as in the plans of old J. Edgar Hoover. It ain't changed. Understand that. Ain't nothing changed but the names and some of the faces. Same old enemies, same tactics, same objectives. You got to know it's a real hour we're living in. This is the hour that all of the greats prayed for, yearned for. All of the greats wish they could live in, wish they could see in, where the conditions were so right for our people to come to life and put our enemies to flight, white, black, red, yellow. Put them to flight. You witness the Bloods and Crips come together. Put all their differences to the side. That means that the Muslims have to come together. That means the Christians have to come together. That means the Hebrews got to come together. That means the Buddhists got to come together. That means the agnostics got to come together. That means if you don't believe in none of that and you just black, you got to come together. Got to pull yourself together and get your mind in the fight and get your mind in the game of life. Get in the game. Pull yourself up and pick yourself up. Let me open this microphone up for our national chairman so he can make his statement to the people and explain what's happening. This is our national chairman, the General Hashim Nzinga, coming to you live. Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Can you hear me, Brother Sean?
Yes, sir, Brother Chairman.
You're in the right spirit. And let me just say in this hour that this is another wake-up call for a civilization of great people. And there's a question mark. I was watching the video the brothers been doing, and they got the third one out. What is it called, Brother Sean? The series with our Professor Johnson and Dr. Smalls and all the great scholars. The Colors series. You know what I'm saying? Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir.
Talking about the video, you got to help me pull it up. We got to bring it into existence. The videotapes that Dr. Smalls and Dr. Johnson and all of them been doing, and they on the third one now, Hidden Colors.
Talking about Hidden Colors.
I had to go watch that last night. I had to watch all three parts. Then I had to go to the library and buy Stephen's Biko book, and I had to read it. because this is an hour that we need to be studying, and we need to look inside ourselves, and we need to study our history, because something is wrong with somebody else when a race of people, look at a race of people and feel that that race of people are so threatening that they will reach the level that every time they get a chance, any kind of chance, they will murder this people, the black male in America. Now, for the FBI and the people who monitor our show and definitely monitoring it tonight to see what we're thinking, where our mind is at, let's talk clear. As Malcolm say, let's keep it plain. But Malcolm told him, you got a kettle, you got a pot. If you don't be careful, the pot is going to explode. So I was watching the media and the way they handle this and the way they make us look like savages and the way they saying, look at them tearing up their own community, and they call some of the SWAT team members calling the people animals. And let's look at this closer. Let's go backwards to go forward. What made a people kill a Steve Biko, a great writer who was writing the story of the plight of the South African in his own country being dominated by the British? Hashim, 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 why are you bringing this up? What does this got to do with anything? It has a lot to do with this, Brother Sean. Because they didn't say the niggas was coming. They say the British was coming. And in 1776, it was a Tea Party. It was the British who came to run this country. It was the British, George Washington himself, who had slaves. So, in 1954, Thurgood Marshall was fighting a great case, Brown versus the Board of Education. Little sister named Brown crossing railroad tracks in danger to get to school, and it was a school right next to her house. But in 1954, our great leader Nkrumah, who ran one of the greatest countries in Africa, one of the richest countries in Africa, they call it the Golden Country, Ghana. In 1954, he was fighting who? The British, to get out of Ghana. What am I saying? I'm saying in the early 1960s, the CIA here in America put money together to kill Patrice Lumumba in the Congo. In 1961, Malcolm said he don't get mad when the chicken come home the roost because Kennedy was behind Patrice Lumumba's killing. In 1963, Malcolm was assassinated. But in 1963, the Congos had changed to Zaire, and the Belgian was still running the country. But I'm saying, when we parallel Africans that came through slavery in America and Africans on the motherland, when we talk about the dates of 1954, 1960, when Medgar Evers was assassinated in 1963 in Mississippi, Kennedy then passed the voting bill because of that. What I'm telling you, Brother Sean, is we are a powerful people. I'm talking about the people who came through the slave triangle here in American cotton fields, the black man that came through the cotton fields and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather came through the cotton fields. They passed something in us that we started to make more progress here in America than the kings and queens of the nations of Africa was making. Africa was in bondage from Ghana to Uganda to the Congos to Joe Kenyatta in Kenya. They didn't start getting their freedom until the late 60s and 70s. They had Mandela in jail while I was in high school in the 80s. So it's something about this black man in America that makes him Frederick Douglass. It's something about this black man in America that makes him Charles Drew. It's something about this black man in America that makes him Frederick Jones, and he invents refrigerators It's something about this black man in America is Nat Turner, and it makes him rise and fight his slave owner. It's something about this black man in America named Booker T, who started an institution right before their eyes called Tuskegee Institute. It's something about this black man in America. God has freed us to outdo the enemy, sometimes 5-1. It's something about the black man in America who could have a Kenyan father, who is a mama, who could become the president of a country right before their eyes, taking a leader. So when you see these terrorists shooting our babies down, you got to see it for what it is. They know something about us that we ain't quite holding on to. When you shoot an 18-year-old child that's 2 days from going to college in the back 9 times, broad daylight in his own neighborhood, you got to understand what would make a man do that to a child and then go home to his child and look at his child and say, today I shot a child down, and be comfortable with it. And I'm trying to tell people now, when you go back and Google slavery, you look at the white man and his child. He made his child look at that nigga being lynched. He made his wife look at that nigga being lynched. Then he put tar on him, put feathers on him, and burned him in front of his kids. And then they called it a picnic, as Dr. Collins called it, because after the body cooled off, they would get jars, baby food jars, and they would pick parts of the black man. And the white woman always went for his middle section. And they would take it home, and they would put tape on the jar and talk about the day of the lynching. And they would call it a picnic. They were all gathered to see the black man be totally dismembered. And so it's something in their psyche when they're destroying a black man. It's something that was put in them. And it's something that growed in them. It's something that festered in them. And the nature of them, they can't get it out of them. And we keep trying to pray the nature out of them, but the nature is too deep in them. And here we are, God's people. And we brought the great man who say, turn the other cheek. Don't ever deal with an eye for an eye, or they leave everybody blind. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when that man stood outside on that Lorraine Hotel balcony, one of them same people with that same nature put a bullet through his neck, destroyed one of the best vocal cords we ever had to speak in this country. They didn't only kill Malcolm, they killed Martin. Now, here we are. They want to ask what we feeling, what we going to say. We got videotapes on your videos where a black woman is on the side of a highway in California and a white brute is beating her like a Muhammad Ali fight. We got a video, if we click over here, you got a stick around a black man's neck, choke him till he can't breathe no more. We got a video of the recording of a man coming from college, going home to see his mama. His car had an accident in the Carolinas. He makes it to somebody's door. This is America. He's looking for help. He rings the bell. The police shoot him on that porch, shoot him down like a dog. We got Trayvon Martin walking home, eating Skittles, drinking tea, talking to his girlfriend, going home to his father, shot down in his own neighborhood. We got Kendrick Johnson being chased through a basketball court, beat to death, wrapped up. Nobody even care about looking into the case. Black mothers crying because their sons are dying. We got the mother of young Brown saying, I worked his way through high school. Do you know how hard it was to get him to believe in America and this system? Now look what you done to my baby. What the hell do you expect for us when we plowed your cotton fields? We did your roads. We built your White House. We built your buildings. We were the maids in your house. We put our breasts in your baby's mouth and fed them milk. We did everything you asked of us. We graduated not only from Howard and Hampton and Morehouse and Spelman, we graduate from Berkeley. We graduate from Harvard. We graduate from Yale and Emory and Georgia Tech still treat us like a race of animals. Then you want to wonder what we going to say. You don't see no Chinese high school kids getting shot down in the back of America. You don't see no people from Japan getting shot down in America. People from India being shot down in America. You don't see the Greeks, the Italians, only the black man. And they're wondering why the black man is angry in St. Louis. It ain't over our young brother Brown. He just the point, like Rodney King was just the point to say we can't please this nation called America. The Constitution don't respect them. Then the little sister got a little phone and she records the brother being shot 9 times in the back. And your Supreme Court justice 4 weeks ago, just said it's illegal for you to take somebody's cell phone without a warrant. You take her and put her in jail and take her cell phone and probably delete it to kill her, delete it to crime scene. Criminals are protecting crime. And all we ever hear in this country, the favorite recording of the black man in this country, is we just send him home with pay while we do the investigation. You're in Oakland. You're at a train station. A little fight on the train. You go up to the black man and you shoot him in his head in front of everybody and say you thought it was your taser gun. You don't shoot people with a taser gun in the skull. You shoot them in the chest. I went to the training with a taser gun. Then you get a crack of 3 years and you let them out in 6 months. We are in a situation here. Well, whatever we say and whatever we do, we're justified because we done went to your finest schools. We done built the churches in our community and we praise our God every Sunday. We go to school. We go to work. We raise our babies. We're civilization in a civilization. Everybody else, but nobody has this threat of death lingering over them. Every time a black man crank a car, he got to set his mirrors. And if a police give an eye on him, he almost have to freak out. What kind of nation is this, man? A man can believe in Bank of America. We can believe in IBM. Could believe in UPS. Off of work. Car have to panic going home. Who can live under this kind of stress and pressure? Black man, if he ain't dying of the hands of a white man, he's dying because of high blood pressure and stress of this country and this nation. Then you get mad because the black man in St. Louis and the black brother is angry. He's tired of being tired. He's tired of hearing about it. But then you're going to say, well, they kill each other. Well, I hate to say it, but you taught us that too. But the Black Panther Party, we gonna work as long as I'm chairman, put a stop to that. But we cannot allow people who we pay to protect our communities, the people we pay to protect us, to be the number one killer of us, to be the number one stalker of us. And in their system they got, they say you're innocent until proven guilty. Where did that apply in black America? No damn where. You're guilty when you're born black. You're guilty when the mama put the baby milk in your mouth. So I say to America, you got to reap what you sow. I say to America that if it's a God that created the heavens and the earth and the cycle of the sun and the cycle of the earth, you got to reap what you sow. It has nothing to do with Malik Zulu Shabazz or Hashim Ezinga. It's got something to do with something much more powerful than that. Or Harriet Tubman would have ever freed the slaves. Frederick Douglass would have never been able to ask on the 4th of July, who am I to speak on your Independence Day? Sir John the Truth would have never got on a wagon and said, ain't God still God? Kunta Kinte and his family and the movie Roots, we would have never made it out of there with Chicken George if it wasn't no God. You was made to die in the cotton field. You was made to die on the plantation. You was made never to get free. And so I'm saying to America, man. I'm saying to America clearly, it's out of my hands. I don't have the power to stop it because I didn't start it. You started this damn mess. And you're going to have to reap what you sow, and you're going to have to deal with it, because when God moves, he'll make locusts eat your corn up. He'll make the animals make you suffer if we don't make you suffer. God always have looked after his people, man. And what I'm getting at, Sean, and just fixing it up, we are a people of God, man. And we have taken the same abuse that Jesus took. Didn't they lynch him too? Brother Sean, did they lynch him?
Yes, sir, they did.
I thought they did. So I'm saying to you, Brother Sean, they asked me, Brother Hashim, can you do this? Can you do that? I say to America tonight, I can't stop it because I didn't start it. I say to America tonight, I cannot change the gospel. My mama taught me the gospel. And the gospel is that you reap what you sow. And when God comes to do what he's doing, he'll use a rock. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't good to play with God's children. I wouldn't do it if I was you. So I would tell the SWAT team and these terrorists to bag your ass off our people and get out of our community. And let us heal this mother who's lost her child. I got one son. I fight every day to protect him. I can't even imagine what I would be going through if he was shot 9 times in the back innocent. Nowhere on earth they can hide that police. So he ain't a police, he's a criminal. And in this country, your constitution gives you the right. I don't care if it's the police, I don't care who it is. If somebody used illegal force and threatened your life, you got the right to use the same amount of force back. Because I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sean, you only get one life. And somebody has made our life a little cheaper than everybody else's life, but I ain't taking that. God has made our life just as important as any human being breathing. We better understand that, and they better understand that. Stop playing us so cheap, like we enjoy going to funerals. We enjoy picking out coffins. We enjoy digging holes for young people before they even get to understand what this world is about. So I say tonight, we're going into St. Louis. We're going to preach to our people and heal our people and unite our people. And we're going to bag the goddamn terrorists off of our people and say, let our people go. Let our people go. Brother Sean, I am so spiritually fired up because I know we got a great power behind us. That's why these people are doing this. They're doing it to remind us, man. Remind us how great we are. Remind us of what God has already promised us. I think we're forgetting. And these kind of things unify us because we're so disunified. And they remind us that
right.
We have to be like every other nationality. We got to stick together, man. Dr. King said in 1968, the year he died, he talked about all his great achievements, all he got done. But it was sad to hear him say, you know, I could have got a lot more done if we would have stuck together. And us watching Eyes on the Prize and studying the Civil Rights Movement, if black people wasn't together then, I don't know when in history we were. Because King used to march 20,000, 250,000. We were together, man. But King was quoted saying, if we were more unified, he could have changed more things. But this is the hour I say to our people, go to your God. Go to your God. And when you get through going to your God, get up and be who God made you. And don't let any man, any man put fear in you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of fear, I shall fear no evil. And you had a faith of that mustard seed. And you grab onto that mustard seed. You don't only dream. You get back to the business of God's people, which is us. And you start teaching again. And you start taking back your community again. And you start stop neglecting your responsibility in your community. Stop neglecting that little boy who you see going astray. Stop neglecting that little sister who you see going astray. Start back being black men and women that come from a great, great heritage, come from the greatest people that ever lived. Let's reclaim who we are during this hour. But let's make sure this terrorist group that's been setting up our demise and been setting us up, surrounding us up, put us in concentration camps right here in 2014 in the 21st century. Let's let them make a plan and God make a plan and let's follow their plan. The only way we're going to do that, we got to be man. We got to be man. We can't be toys and we can't be boys. We got to be man. And we got to stand up and we got to look them in the eye. And we got to protect our babies, protect our women, protect our neighborhoods, protect our children, protect our houses. We got the same right as them crackers right now buying them guns from them gun shops and gun stores to use on us. We got the same right as them little white girls in the gun range right now at 8 and 12 and 6 shooting little 22s at black targets. We got the same rights, police officer who get out of that car and ask you for his driving license, your driving license. We ain't giving up none of them. And I asked Eric Holder, Attorney General of the United States, and the Justice Department. Now, I'll let our attorney who's coming on next and the Black Lawyers and Justice deal with that, but they need to be on the mark this time. They failed over and over again. And I'm waiting on this man that's sitting on 1600 Pennsylvania to see if he just going to let these people get out here and brutally murder us in the street while we're going through our pain and hurt and we're emotional, fighting back the best we can. How can you fight back? These people are pulling 9mm shooting your kids in the back. How can you not fight back? How can you not fight back? If the young man jumped out the car and ran, he had the right to run because whatever that man said in that car, he carried out. Nobody's going to shoot a teenager running away from you in the back 9 times. There's too much money put in the police departments for training on how to handle that. You call for bag up. You circle here. You circle there. You circle here. We got them. We got them over here. You just don't get off and go blazing people in the middle of the day, man. That's a sickness, man. It's called white supremacy.
Tell it.
Sean, what time is it, Brother Sean? We want to know when our Black Lawyer for Justice is coming on.
He's coming on right at the top, but he hasn't made it yet. I'll give you a signal when he come in.
Okay, so I want to say this. So we're going to be moving into St. Louis with 3 or 4 agendas. One agenda is going to be to get with the community and get with the mother, which we've been talking to, get with the father, the stepfather, who we've been talking to, and see how we can best help them in the hour of pain. But the other side, because the mother and the father are in pain, the other side is get with the community and find out what's been going on in the community, because if this happened, this other thing, we're going to find out while we're there. Then our number one job is to protect, like the original panel, protect our people from racist pigs. So as we come in, we're going to be coming in with a lot of different people. We're going to, everybody who know Black Talk Radio, Black Power Radio, know we got a friend in St. Louis who know all the governors, know all the mayors, know all the city councilmen. He was one himself. Our billionaire friend Mike Roberts been on the phone with him all week. He will be bringing us in again after this time because he got a couple of ideas of his own. We'll be bringing others who I won't mention on this phone. But the New Black Panther Party will be there like we've been doing for 25 years. I just hate the only time that people think we show up is when something like this happens. We're on the scene day and night all the time. But hopefully this time, the black nation will unify and get it right and understand the other thing that Dr. King said in 1968. He said, we're not a poor people. We spent $38 billion. But now black people in America spend $1 trillion. And we don't need to spend money with people who shoot us in our back and people who applaud SWAT teams and Gatling guns that surround our neighborhood. Them kids wouldn't be tearing up the neighborhood if you wouldn't be bringing all that force in there after you done slaughtered our baby. You slaughter our baby and leave him in the middle of the street for 6 hours. Then you say, look at us. No, what made us come to the streets? Wasn't nobody in the streets day before that. Wasn't nobody in the streets week before that. Wasn't nobody in the streets month before that. They came to the streets after that 18-year-old baby laid there bleeding to death for 6 hours. So you want to know why they're in the streets acting like they acted? You go find that hot-ass, coward-ass white police who shot them 9 times in the back, and you bring them to us. And that's why we're in the streets. But you got him somewhere feeding his baby and probably finna go to Disney World and get rewarded for killing the black man. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Just take a couple of months off. Niggas always forget. It'll be all right. Then the sickening part about this, Brother Sean, because we are the New Black Panther Party, and I've been the chief of staff of this party for almost 17, 18 years, we get all the phone calls. And the sickening part is we get the calls about certain police stations and certain police cities that got fraternities, inside fraternities, that if you kill a black man, they won't even accept you in their fraternity. Just 2 weeks ago, all over Google, all over Yahoo, they kicked 2 or 3 Klan out of the police department in Florida. Right before our eyes. So they got these special fraternities, special groups that you can't even be in until you can come to the donut shop and get the coffee and say, I got me a nigga last night. Oh, I hit him 13 times. You should have seen him spinning. Huh? Then you got to blame America. They train all these young white boys, 16, 17, 18 years old. Some of them leave and go to the army because they got these privileged millionaire and billionaire fathers who give them no attention. So they join the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and they go in there for 20 years, 15 years, and they fight. And they just train them to kill and slaughter people in these countries. And they wake up with their M16s and their AK-47s and their cannons, and they shoot anything that moves. They blow up anything that moves. Then when the war is over, they bring them home to America. They don't have no job for all these soldiers, but they just train them to be killing machines. And that bald-headed white man goes straight to the local police department, and he gives them his credentials. So now you got a bunch of bald-headed white men running in your community, jumping out these police cars, acting like they're in Iraq, because that's where their mind still is. But they send them to our neighborhood. And if you run, they'll shoot you in the back 9 times, because that's what they do. See, military, that's why they want to bring the National Guard into Chicago. They want to bring the National Guard into St. Louis. Military is made to shoot and kill. They have real bullets. SWAT teams sometimes have rubber bullets. Police are on their car is to protect you and to protect the community. And you're supposed to have community policing, and it was designed for police to be from your community, your uncle, your deacon at the church, your father's brother. Your cousin was the police. But now you'd be lucky if you ever run into a police and seen him in your community. You live in a community, he'll drive an hour to get to your community. Then his bald-head friend drive an hour or two from the other way. So ain't no more community police. These are brutes, man. They put on them black gloves and beat the shit out of you. Pepper spray you and you can't see, can't breathe. Man, it's all over YouTube. It's everywhere. Ain't nothing being done about it. So I say this to America. Best way to choking you to death is choke them to death. Malcolm said if they come to your house and they got a rope, if you open that door, you have a rope. It's whoever fastest with the rope. Why? Because we done seen the outcome. We always end up at the grave site. They always end up vacationing on our tax money. So Eric Holder, you need to show up. Because we ain't taking it no more. We can't take it no more. Because if we take it anymore, we won't be here no more. This is about the existence of us, man. This is exterminating the black male, man. It's much more serious than people are thinking. The black male is being exterminated. And then as we were on the air a couple weeks ago, the ones who are not being exterminated, they're pushing them to be gay and fags. So they won't be productive on reproducing babies, man. This is about genocide. And any time a nation is threatened with genocide, you have to fight back, man. You owe that to God. God made nobody sit here and go away. He said he'd give you dominion and control over everything. Where is our dominion? Where is our control? It's within us. But are we calling on it? Are we seeking it? Are we using it? Damn right we are. If we wouldn't, we wouldn't be here. Harriet Tubman went to a god, man. How did we know about the Big Dipper and the North Star? Why was Frederick Douglass called a North Star? Why did W. Du Bois call this paper the Liberator? Because we are, man. We just got to remember we are. They remember. That's why they kill us wholesale, because we still the threat we were yesterday. So I say, ain't no turning back now. Then some people say they're jailing us. What about jail? If you live in America, you're already in jail. Malcolm said, don't talk about the north or the south. If you north of the Canadian border, you're catching hell. Then we used to run to the north to Canada get free, and Canada is one of the most racist places in the world. So anywhere we go and anywhere we turn, we face racism, annihilation. So there's only one thing to do. Go to our God. Protect our families. Protect who we are. And fight with him. Fight like hell with anybody who fight against us. Use every constitutional right and every right this country gives you. Don't you ever think that somebody got the right to take your life. And you're supposed to forgive them. Because let me wake you up to something. They do know what they're doing. Marking our babies in fourth, fifth grade, building jails to match their grades. While they put incompetent teachers in our community. So everywhere we look is pain. And pain will either make you do one or two things, Brother Sean, to send you into shock or to make you get used to it. And it's kind of like you don't have no Novocaine for your tooth, but you get used to it. And over time, this pain is there, but you don't feel it no more. So they got the black man in America numb to pain. But we're still in pain, man. Do you think I want to spend my rent money, my water bill money, my children's school money, to go to St. Louis, you think I really want to come up there, Cracker? No, you're forcing me to do this. Because I was called by God to be where my people need me. The Bible says when you become a leader, you become a servant of the people. My people need me. And they need you, Brother Sean. In this hour, they need us. They need to have courage. They need to be reminded of who they are and why this is happening. So the white man won't think we're missing the big picture. We got to always remind him we know why he's doing this. Because he know we're the majority on earth. And no matter how he kill us, no matter how he think he can kill us off, we keep popping up. We baby kids. We don't die. We multiply. He knows that. Why do you think he makes the atomic bomb? Why do you think he makes these aircraft that fly with no man that he can drop bombs? And why do you think all of these breakouts are in Africa now and the crackers are coming back in special uniforms, special ambulances coming right down 85, going to Grady Hospital, going in special units, cleaning them up and left the Africans there to die? They took it over there themselves. The white man is always behind the genocide of Africa. Yeah, you had black kings fighting each other. We know that, the Igbo in the houses. But when you read Chancellor William's book, The Destruction of African Civilization, and when he teach you how the British, the Belgian, the French, the Portuguese, how they work to turn us against each other, use us as puppets against each other. Yeah, you always have your hand in there. That's why I'm trying to wake our people up and stop being the puppet of the white man. If all these preachers, the SCLC, and NAACP, and the Al Sharptons, don't you bring your ass to St. Louis telling our people they ain't got the right to be angry. Don't you bring your ass to St. Louis telling our people to cool off. Don't you bring your ass to St. Louis telling our people it's going to be all right. You ain't never made it all right. Leave God's people alone and let them go by their spirit and whatever God tell them to do. And get your ass out the way. These people don't need no leader. These people don't need no leader. They need some freedom. And if you're going to be free, sometime it's going to be bloodshed. Marcus Garvey gave us the red, the black, and the green. He said the black was for the people. The green was for the land, and the red was for the blood you might have to shed for that land. White man shed blood all the time.
Teach that.
Kennedy was a dynasty, but they sent that Kennedy to fight, and he died over that war. When you look at Israel and their president, one of them sons was out there fighting. But they don't ever want us to feel we should fight. But you can't get free if you don't fight. You can't get free if you don't fight. You can't live unless you're willing to die. You don't live until you're willing to die. You're willing to die for some Jordans. You're willing to die crack. You're willing to die for that white man alcohol in St. Louis, that Budweiser. You better stand up and protect them babies. Protect your women and protect your neighborhood and tell them intruders to get the hell out your neighborhood. And until they send police who are from your neighborhood, to do proper policing of your neighborhood, stay the hell away from you. For all our brothers out there harming each other, stop it today. For all our sisters out there hurting each other and harming each other, stop it today. For all our people letting our women become whores, stop it today. Turning that little boy into a crackhead, stop it today. We're going into St. Louis, Brother Sean. But we're really going into the world, the global society, because St. Louis is everywhere. It's just time, man. It's just time. And when a woman is 9 months pregnant and that water breaks,
that's real tough.
I don't give a damn if you're ready or not, that baby coming. If you didn't go stock up on Pampers, if you didn't go stock up on what that baby needs, baby's still coming. God dang, you'll make that baby survive without you. So I say this, on this radio broadcast tonight, I don't give a damn what happened now. I'm on God's schedule, man. And when you're on God's schedule, Sean, you feel all right, man. You feel good about yourself. When you got God leading you, I don't care who's against you. When God is for you, the world can be against you. That's how we done move these mountains. That's why they mad at us. Get any historian, bring them from another planet, and let them look at America. First thing he'll tell you, ain't no more niggas, right? Them slaves, they killed them off, right? They said, one of them is the president of the United States, sir. What? One of them is the attorney general of the United States, sir. What? One of them is the first lady of the United States, sir. What? They got 783 of them, mayors of cities, sir. We're survivors, Sean. We're leaders by nature. Somebody know it, but we don't. I'm here to say one thing and say it clear.
Teach.
We are God's people. And that's why we're sacrificing. That's why we're sacrificing, because when you, for God, you make sacrifices for the good of the people, man. But God ain't always made you sacrifice. You sacrifice in the fields, Brother Sean, because you got to plow the field. Frederick Douglass say, you don't want to plow the field, but you want the harvest. You want the ocean, but you don't want the roaring noise of the ocean. You want the rain, but you don't want the thunder. You can't have it like that. But we've been in the field, Sean. We plowed the field. We put the corn down, Sean. We watered the corn. We de-weeded the field. Now the harvest is right. It's some time to enjoy the harvest. I ain't let no man stop me from enjoying the harvest. Ain't no man greater than God, and ain't no man greater than me. So I don't care what's your title, Governor. I don't care what's your title, Homeland Security. I don't care what's your title, FBI. Them are man-made titles. Get out of the way of God's children. It's time for us to be able to smile in America without putting our head in the laughing barrel. You know I told you the story, Sean, about Dr. Khalid Muhammad I meant to. Said in South Carolina in the museums they got laughing barrels, and when black people wanted to laugh, they had to put their head in a barrel because the white man didn't want to see you laugh. Well, them days are over, Cracker. Them days are over. We're going to enjoy our harvest right here on God's earth, like it or not. And I'm going to remind you one more time, the reason you're doing this, you know we're the majority on earth. That's why I tell everybody, go look at Hidden Colors. All three series of Hidden Colors that explain where we at. I appreciate them brothers for doing that. We are a great people. We have been here before and done this before. Just time for us to remember who we are. They say they got a big clock called Big Ben. Everybody come from all over the world to look at that clock. But the reason they named it Big Ben, they named it after Benjamin Banneker, who invented the first clock. We just got to remember who we are, Brother Sean. Well, if there's any callers, let's take some calls until our Black Lawyers for Justice and our former chairman of so many years, 12 years, Attorney Malik Boone-Shabazz, get ready.
Okay, yes, sir. We've got a whole host, whole horde of people that's ready to get in on this. Our number to call, 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We'll start with the first caller here, Eric Cole, 909-749. You're on live. Black Power Radio, talk to us. Welcome, Black Power, Murder in Missouri.
Black Power, Sister Nikki Love here.
Black Power, Black Power.
I'm listening to what the elder's saying, what the brother's saying, and I have to disagree with some of the things he's saying. Elder, no disrespect to you, but God ain't helping my babies right now. My babies are dying at an alarming rate every day in the streets by the hands of the police. So when we say we want to call on God, I'm no offense to you, my brother, but God ain't helping right now. We got to help. And one of the things that I see, and I see in the community across America, okay, I'm talking about across America with the black community, first of all, we got sellouts. We got Messy Jesse. We got Al Sharpton. We got black people in the community that's politicians, that's pastors, that so many things, and they're sellouts, and they're not seeing the seriousness of the death of our children that happen out here every day. I get so sick of seeing our babies die. I get so sick of seeing our babies go to jail, you know, and everybody after the fact wants to do something after the fact about it, and it's too late because that child was born. That 17-year-old child that died, he didn't know it was going to be his last day on this earth. He didn't know that, and killed by the hands of the police. Innocent child walking down the street. So we have many of those brothers like that that are being shot. And see, what we do is we talk too much. And then what we want to do is we want to talk about it after the fact instead of doing something about it before the fact. First of all, we need to get rid of the sellouts. They got to go. I'm like Queen and Zynga, off with their heads. They got to go. Because any black man or black woman that chooses to continue to be a sellout, to be a sellout and work against their own people, and they're not recognizing the damage and the, you know, the destruction that's going on with my people around the world, just not here in America, my brother, because look what they did in Africa. Look what they did in Africa. If we are not recognizing it for what it is, and any black person on this planet that wants to be a sellout, they belong off this planet. They ain't no better than what y'all call the cracker. And we have to begin to start making sure that we take our communities back. Another thing I wanted to speak on, stop looting in your community. That is helping the situation. It's not helping the situation. If we are going to do what we have to do for our communities, first of all, we got to plan strategically. We got to find out who to sell us out for one. But how compassionate and how much do we really care about our babies when we're sitting here spewing orphans and another child about to be killed tomorrow in Ohio somewhere or in Atlanta somewhere. See, we do a lot of talking, and what we got to remember from the civil rights movement till now, we have to ask ourselves the questions. We had great leaders, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, but the real talk is, why has nothing changed since then, and why is it that we're getting it worse now? We haven't even asked ourselves the question, why? We ain't doing nothing. It ain't helping nothing. Rallying ain't helping us all about this because another one of us is going to die tomorrow.
Brother Sean?
Oh, yeah, we here.
Let me say this. First of all, I appreciate the sister spirit, and I'm not here to challenge anybody's spirit. I'm going to keep my God with me. I did say after we pray and get our God, we got to get up and do something. And that's what I've been doing for 25 years. I also, like she just said, talked about the global thing from all the way back to Zulu Nation, Patrice Lumumba to Nkrumah to Joe Kenyatta. But we know Africa catches it too, to Mandela right here before our face. And we also talked about these diseases that's going on right now, they're bringing the white people back to Atlanta and leaving the black people over there to die because they know how to cure that stuff. But I also say this to her. She mentioned Malcolm, Martin, and the Honorable Marcus Garvey. The same white man destroyed all three of them. His name was Jay Gahoover. And he started what they call the FBI. That is the same agency to this day who used to write letters from Huey Newton to Cleaver and set up our brother Fred Hampton and Mark Clark and has been destroying the black community for years. Took the best of us out. He died of old age, gay, faggot, walking a dog down the street, and we did nothing to him, sister. And now the only deadly part about his agency is most of the agents in our community are black and look like us. They're not going to send no black FBI agent to China to stick out. They're not going to send no black FBI agent to Canada or to England to stick out. They're not going to send, CIA too, same thing abroad. They're not going to send no black FBI agent into the Italian mob. They're going to send them to us. And some of them I'm talking about sellouts. These people that have lost a whole trip, and they are stagnating our community because what they do with the sensationalism of the Jews TV, and everybody need to read the book, How the Jews Created Hollywood. And with the Jews media and the Jews TV, they have made it look like we're the villains of America. We're the destruction of America. And you can take all the brothers in Detroit who's still in hubcaps, and you can take one white man, and he just stole $1 trillion. Them brothers' hubcaps won't add up to 100,000, but it'll put 20,000 of them in jail. The media make us look like we got a war on drugs and a war on this because they're arresting black men every night. Do you think they want to control them borders? No, they got junkies and drug addicts over here, and they let them Mexicans come through here every day with a pound of weed or whatever else they bring it over here like they did in Noriega, and like, which was Reagan running the cocaine, and the white boys at Harvard and Yale, and the white man at the Congress and the Senate could snort their cocaine at their party openly on mirrors. Then they put it down in our neighborhood and made it crack and gave us 50 years for crack and don't mess with the white man at all. So I would say this. We understand what you're saying, sir. We've been there. We've been teaching this 25 years, and we've been in the streets for 20-some years. And we've been on every case. And when we ain't on the media or in the media, we're housing, we're feeding, we're clothing, we're working on our people. We're educating. Political science majors are out here teaching about our people to our youngsters. We're tutoring. We got all kind of programs throughout the nation with the Black Panther Party. We got Black Power Radio, Black Panther newspapers, and we're rebuilding them. But we ask people to join. If you don't join us, join the Black Power Movement. Join something. Because sometimes we expect Superman and heroes. We ain't heroes. We just mothers and fathers. We just your sister. We just your brother trying to do the best we can. But we need to unite, sister, and we do need to get these people who have been confused and holding back our community because they think they're white and work for the white man and they think something wrong with us. Brother Sean, we'll take another call.
All right. Nikki, appreciate that. Black power. Stay strong out there. Next caller, area code is 469-693. You're on live. Black Power Radio, Chairman Hashim and Zinger talking about murder in Missouri. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power family. This is Brother DK National Minister of Defense.
I have Black Power.
Oh, man, first of all, I want to say, man, you know, hey, the time has come. And this is one of the hours that we must unite and organize and stand behind the people that's in the streets, on the battlefield, and on the ground. So we can take 100 opinions for people that's not there. But we got some brothers and sisters. I want to give my props off, my hats off to y'all that's on the ground in Murder, Missouri right now, holding down for the people. You know what I mean? And one thing we got to do is move into that city and make sure that we got our people backs, because this is not a time where we can't expect for nobody else to do for us but us. You know what I mean? And when you got young brothers getting shot 9 times, that's an overkill. You know, by the police, any kill is an overkill in the black community nowadays. But 9 times, unarmed, you know, man, it's time to take action. So, you know, and when a person saying that the actions of the people are outrageous and out of hand, no, the murder of our young brothers, the murder of our babies are out of control and out of hand, you know, and out of hand. It's that time where we seize the time and make use of the opportunity the right way. You know, I advise the community to stand behind the New Black Panther Party 110% strong, just as we'll stand behind you guys right now and forever. And I advise those who fall victim to the charlatanism and all that BS, just go the fuck to hell. I'm just being real, man. You know, because it's time out for talking and it's time out for plea bargaining and holding hands with the enemy when shit happened to our babies. You know, it's time out for, you know, settling. You know, when I say settling, I mean when shit happened to, like, what happened to Trayvon Martin, we sweep it under the rug. You know what I mean? We ain't sweeping things under the rug no more. You know, we're not sweeping them under the rug no more. and people like Sharpton and everybody else who come in and they sit up to hold hands and negotiate these peace deals for the people, man, it's time to turn the odds against them down, you know. Turn the odds against them by open let the community see who really on the front line with them and who just making these hyped up press conferences and putting their suit and tie on and then they not on the scene. No, they don't. I got the Panthers out there on the ground with the people. You know what I mean? So right now is the time for the people to stand behind the Panthers while the Panthers stand behind the community. Let's go to work, family. Let's go to work.
Black Power.
Let's go to work.
Stay on for a minute, Brother DK. Stay on for a minute. I was like talking to Brother DK earlier today. On our website, I got a picture of DK accident, his car. And to me, he's a miracle child. God had work for him to do. Spared his life. And we never knew if he was going to even walk again. We never knew what was going to happen. He called me today and said he's ready. Ready for the battlefield. Got a little limp. Got a little of this, but I'm ready for the battlefield. And I want to take time to thank our National Minister of Defense, who I've been giving a break because I know the spiritual, the mental, and the physical healing he had to go through. He didn't need to be try. We didn't need to try to rush him back. He called me to say, "Brother, I'm ready." So we're looking forward. And these are the kind of soldiers that this organization has produced over the years, and I want to thank our St. Louis crew, the chairman out there, Sister Polk, and our regional minister, Brother Durrell, and all the troops under their rank and file, and our national minister information for keeping us afloat of what's going on, and our national chief of staff for being on point, and our national team, and our national minister of education, Brother James, checking in to see what he could do, and it's just love, man. It's just we train for this. We train for this hour. Mm-hmm. Nothing to fear. There's nothing to be shocked about. We talk about it in our meetings on Wednesday. We talk about it in our meetings on Monday. We talk about it on the Black Power Radio every week that we live in a society that is against us. We live in a society that is killing us wholesale. And the question keeps coming up, what are we going to do about it? The question is back on the table again. And that's why I say this. I say, and I know the men and sisters are odds with this, but I can't leave my God nowhere but on the table. We got something much more powerful working in us. And I'm going to work with that energy. I'm going to work with that energy. We are extra, 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 extra people. And we just got to really be reminded of that, sister. We got to be reminded that nobody, like Dr. Collier used to say, nobody's been through what we've been through. Nobody on earth been through what we've been through, the slave here in America from Africa. Nobody has been through what we've been through. Nobody has had their name taken, their religion taken, their culture taken, and been made to generation after generation killed off, and then somebody else teach your baby that they were monkeys in the jungle, and we saved you. Then we had to retrain ourselves through how to be well, retrain ourselves through great teachers, master teachers. We had to get a message from the black man. But now we are. I ain't going to never say we are because we ain't no got no God. Ain't nobody can take you through the tragedy of slavery and the triangle of slaves. And you hear strong as hell, no matter what they saying. We got to have a God somewhere. Leave Brother DK. Can we leave Brother DK on and take some more calls?
I'm still on.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. He can take still
some. Okay, let's take some more calls. Keep our national military defense on. He's a trained soldier for this hour.
He's the right man for it. Next caller here. We're going to air code. Let's go right to the ground. Area code 314-716, 314-716. You're on live Black Power Radio. National Chairman Hashim Nzinga, National Minister of Defense, Brother DK, and myself. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Peace, Black Power. Can you hear me?
Yes, peace.
Yes, it's Sister Anika. Black Power. Yeah, it's real crazy. I've been trying to just basically take as much footage as possible, because I mean they are swarming, and so we actually rode around today, and the damage was nowhere near what they were saying. Now, keep in mind, businesses did get damaged, but man, it was not, they acted like they say burned Ferguson down, and I mean it was straight business as usual. And so that was crazy. It's all these false reports, how they rioted Family Dollar, they rioted Target. None of these places were even rioted. I even asked the cashier, I was like, oh, did y'all get rioted? They was like, no, nobody came in here. There's a lot of lies and propaganda going on.
Yes, ma'am. Keep us informed.
Yeah, definitely, you know. And so I'm just be trying to let the people know, you know, quit drinking the Kool-Aid, don't believe the hype, you know. It's also been, you know, different reports. There's a lot of undercover police going on, and a lot of people thinking that they even started the riot because every other tactic that they've done, the people were not going to.
We listening. You said the undercover police, the pigs was agitating, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got some footage that I'm currently trying to upload. I kind of am having some issues with it, but it's when they first start like tear gassing and shooting the people with these rubber bullets, and you can actually hear on the footage that I got. You can hear. Like when they was firing the rubber bullets and everything, and I'm trying to upload this one on Facebook now, and I mean it was crazy because nobody was doing things, and they were doing different things like rushing in an apartment complex, rolling their trucks over the candlelight vigil that was in the middle of the street where the boy's body laid, and just crushing it and sending their police cars on top of it. I mean, it's just so much agitation. I remember when one of our comrades, Ali, was down there, and he said he was standing right next to a mother holding her baby, and a cop just kept letting the dog leash, like letting the leash loose, and he said the dog was literally like an inch from the mother, and if the mother would have moved, the dog would attack. So it's a lot of stuff that's being done to bait us out, you know, and I think the final straw when we want to move, and they was just like, fuck it, let's throw a brick in something. And you know, it's kind of like when one person do something, then the rest kind of follow. So that's how that happened. But, I mean, they was doing a lot of stuff trying to really, you know, bait the people out, and the people weren't taking the bait. And so now they're trying to just make us look like savages on the news when that wasn't even the case.
Mm. That's a good report, Brother Chairman. Brother DK, can y'all hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that, man. The good thing, y'all keep that footage rolling. Keep that footage because it's necessary for the people to know the truth from the ground, you know. So keep that footage rolling. That's one of your biggest tools right now.
Yeah, I got some very good news.
Let me say this.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me say this. You got to really, really, really understand the propaganda of the white man. You got to really, really understand the book, How the Jews Created Hollywood, to give perceptions and images and give them so consistent on a consistent basis where most of America are followers. Most of America are followers. They're not leaders. So they follow anything. Dr. King said when he was in jail, and he'd stay in jail more than a couple of weeks, the white jailers would be talking to him. And they would ask him, why are you trying to integrate? Why are you doing this? Why are you trying to mess with white people? He said he would talk to him, and they would have decent conversations after he was there a while. He said, but one day he got to talking to him, and they told him, this is the police, how much money they were making. And Dr. King said, damn, y'all need to be out here. As soon as I get out, y'all need to be picking it with me. He said the white poor people catch hell and the rich people has used them worse than they use us, but the white supremacists in them make them think they're better than somebody. I said that not to even get in the conversation. I'm feeling for white people, nothing like that. I just come to see how propaganda can make people think they better or bigger than somebody. And these people believe that hype. Now let me go to what I'm really saying. The chief of staff for President Obama was a Jew. And that Jew is a master at propaganda. That's how he helped Obama become president. But he only stayed one term. Where is that Jew at now? He's in Chicago, am I right?
Chicago. Rahm Emanuel.
He's the mayor of Chicago?
That's right.
Right. And now he uses propaganda to call Chicago Baghdad. He uses propaganda to call Chicago Iraq. Now, I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. When you go to the Chicago airport, all you see is pictures of National Guard. You know, they used to have all those pictures, be all you can be in the Army. But now you go to the Chicago airport, you see all these pictures all through the airport of National Guard, and they're saving white families. So he's painting a picture for all the people to come through Chicago. Then what did he do? He started the little sitcom, Chicagoland, and he played the key character on Chicagoland. And he bring the image of the black community. And they bring the image of we killing each other. And they bring the image of we killing each other. And then they started calling it Iraq. They started calling it Baghdad. Chicago is not Baghdad. Chicago is not Iraq. The Middle East been fighting for 100 years, and babies are born with AK-47s on their back. Babies are born making bombs. Babies are born don't even duck when a bomb go off. Chicago, the deficit that we cause in Chicago, which we should stop, don't add up to a 0.5% of them countries he's trying to make up. But the propaganda is out there. Why? Because now he want to practice with his National Guard tactics. We've seen an article where he want to bring the National Guard in Chicago in the black neighborhood. So all of this, all of this is about training they're getting ready to do on our neighborhood and our people. All
right.
The equipment we've been telling y'all about, they bring him back from Baghdad, bring him back from Iraq, bring him back from Iraq. All these tanks and stuff was made for military. It's going to be sitting at your 7-Eleven store. It's going to be sitting at your Kroger's and your Publix on the corner, and ain't going to be nothing to see it. You're going to get used to it. Big old tanks with guns on top of them, water gun blowing machines. Man, that hurt my heart to see them crackers in St. Louis running toward our people with them damn German Shepherd dogs. Having flashbacks of 1961 and 63. We can't go backwards like that, man. We can't sit here and watch people militarize our neighborhoods. They ain't taking that shit to the white neighborhood where the real criminals
are,
where they're stealing trillions of dollars in them towers. Why you think they had the Wall Street occupied? Them white people were telling white America, this is where your problem is, Wall Street. It's where the real criminals. That's what cripples America. Them crappers keep us in recession. Niggas can't steal enough money to hurt America.
Okay.
Go ahead,
right.
Sir. Propaganda, like
right.
You're saying.
Right.
Don't you fall for the
got
propaganda and then get your city councilman to bring National Guard to your goddamn community. You fight them like hell.
That's real talk. Got to punish your boss on the line, too.
Well, let's yield and let the black lawyer and my big brother come on in here, and we about to listen to the wisdom of the man who's my mentor.
Can I say one last thing?
Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say the very first video that I uploaded August 9th, I only have 2,101 Facebook friends, but ever since August 9th, this video has been shared 9,439 times, and it has over 1,000 likes. And that's when we first hit the scene and the Panthers are in the streets. So we definitely got the people's support. I just wanted to say that real quick.
Black power.
Appreciate that. Right.
Right on that.
All right.
Thank you, sister.
He did. Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney at War, Attorney General. Y'all know I'm Chairman of America's New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Black Power, you won't.
All right, Black Power, can you hear me? Black
yes,
Power.
Sir.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
It's an honor to be on, and sorry for coming on so late. But I want to come on and to, again, say it is a privilege and opportunity to be on the number one radio show in the black movement, and that's Black Power Radio. And it is my honor to be on as guest of the current chairman of the new Black Panther Party, Minister Hashim Nzinga, and the host of this show, his chief of staff, the trusty and reliable Minister Sean Kweli. My honor to be on. I want to congratulate the black man and black woman of Ferguson, Missouri, all of them, every last one of them. I want to congratulate them. I want to congratulate the new Black Panther Party of St. Louis. I want to congratulate the black man and woman of St. Louis. And I want to say that words are coming to pass in this hour, and predictions are coming to pass in this hour.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir. We want to get your thoughts, your take on what you've seen so far, where Black Lives for Justice is in this. What you think about it?
Let me just say this. As time is running out, I am preparing right now at this second that I will be in Ferguson, Missouri, that I will be there in tomorrow, early tomorrow, and I will be there. And I want to see the new Black Panther Party when I get there. And I want to see also the Nation of Islam, who I am in contact with when I get there, and other activists and soldiers who we see now on the front lines, some of them seen on CNN and other places, other of our elders, Zaki, Baruti, and others. I want to see some revolutionaries when I come on the ground, because you have a revolutionary lawyer, and I'll be in the town and on the ground, suited and booted, in Ferguson, Missouri tomorrow, and I'll be there for some days, and I'll be there for what is likely to be a protracted struggle. And so the struggle is changing, and it's changing from you know, first of all, we have to clarify terms. That was not a riot. Now, that was not a riot in Ferguson, Missouri, and no one should call it a riot. That was not a riot. That was a rebellion against police murder and police brutality. That was another cold-blooded murder of a black man with his hands up, shot and gunned down by another white cop. It happens all the time. They're shooting and killing us all the time, choking the life out of us all the time, beating us all the time, and somebody is now not saying that we shall overcome, but rather they are saying we shall overrun. And so, yes, it is true that the armored vehicles are out, and the armored personnel carriers are out, and the SWAT team is out, and all of the plans and the plots of the concentration camps are out. And so we in this hour, we have to say, so goddamn what? So goddamn what? Because we are taught in the scripture that the Holy Quran says that persecution is worse than slaughter. And to live in a state of purgatory, a state of persecution, a state of always being killed, and our only option is no justice and no peace, or we can't live like that no more. Can't go on like this no more. The black man and woman, our youth, have the spirit of revolution all in them, and so they cannot lock down all of America. They cannot lock down every city and town with armored vehicles and cops and troops all over America. They can try, but they cannot do it, even with their federal interstates, which are called interstates, which are really military defense highways, each interstate looping a beltway around each city and urban area. Still, they cannot stop this struggle. And so what will you be in town for? Why am I coming to town? I'm coming to town for several reasons. I'm coming to town, number one, to show solidarity with the black man and woman of Ferguson, Missouri. Solidarity with the family. Solidarity with all of the friends and the witnesses and those who live in that complex, that area. I'm coming to show solidarity
and brotherhood and to let them know that they are not alone. Number two, I'm coming into town to do legal education and legal training so that now while the eye of the world is focused in on Ferguson, Missouri, we can become armed with our information and our rights and our knowledge of how to deal with the police, because it is time now that every black man and woman be armed mentally, morally, and physically to deal with the police. The time has come. And so why else am I coming into town? I'm coming into town because, yes, we need legal rights training, workshops, and seminars. Yes, we need to coordinate these video cameras and taping cases and have them coordinated so that we can build a network of counterintelligence to this enemy. Yes, we must have all of that. We must have police patrols. We must not just be on the defensive against the police, but we must have police patrols, overt police patrols and covert police patrols, schedules and shifts inside of the black nation. See, when we're coming under attack, we must have police patrols in the spirit of Huey P. Newton and the original Panther Party, but beyond that. And we must do this now. We must have permanent policy. We must have legal defense and permanent policy. And so I'm in there to help do some critical legal work. I may, in fact, be representing some of the member of the brothers' family. That is true. Black Lawyers for Justice and our expert team of cold-blooded anti-police litigators, we are the goddamn coldest team in the country, hands down, and have no mercy on these bastards in the courtroom or out of the courtroom. And so, man, I'm coming in to work. I got my sleeves rolled up. I made some contacts, and I ain't got no contracts with the enemy or the police or any members of the power structure in this town. And so I'm coming in to meet the black power movement, to meet the black nationalists, to meet the revolutionaries, to meet those who believe in by any means necessary and those who believe in the right thing in this hour. So much I want to say, and you know it's so much I shouldn't say in this hour, but I will be there sometime in the morning, and I want to see you. Because I'm going to be on the ground. I'm looking to soldier, and I'm looking to dig into this enemy's ass in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yes, sir. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. I think that I think Chairman Zinga dropped off. Defense, you still on with us? The DK?
I'm still on the line. I was going to say community got to take great advantage of Attorney Malik being on the grounds, coming to work, because this is somebody who I can honestly say that when it comes down to giving that devil some hell, he truly takes after his father, Khalil Abdul Muhammad, giving the devil hell from the cradle to the grave is what he's about. And for him to take the charge with the Black Lawyers for Justice, lets the people know there's no more talking, that it's action being taken on the ground. So we support you, brother, on going in. You have a safe arrival. We'll be looking forward to seeing you on the ground.
Okay, let me say this, Brother DK.
Yes, sir.
First of all, it's good to hear your voice and to see you back, black man, after such tragic circumstances. It's really good to hear your voice and to know that you're alive and with us in this hour. And so I would say this, you know, it was some years ago. I mean, not years ago, but a year ago, when my chairmanship of the New Black Panther Party ended, and I transcended to chairman emeritus, and a new chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, came on the scene, another student of Dr. Khalid Muhammad. But I also said at that time, as I took the national presidency of Black Lawyers for Justice and dug in to build up Black Lawyers for Justice, I said that one day soon that we would be out here on this battlefield fighting. And I said that the circumstances and the hells of America would force the new Black Panther Party and Black Lawyers for Justice to fight side by side, and that you wouldn't even know the difference between me transcending the position, because we would be fighting side by side, but yet on a higher level. And so right now, dear sisters and brothers, in this particular city, we are called to fight on a higher level. We are called to transcend the struggle of our people from civil rights to black nationalism and black power. In this specific city, we must define, develop, and defend that which is within the interests of black people. Now, these brothers and sisters have already shown they're revolutionary. They have already shown that they have done the revolutionary job. And now it is our job to come and build a defense base behind them, a legal defense base and a physical defense base behind them, so that they have a permanent and a standing defense corps and standing defense in that town, standing lawyers in that town, standing citizens that are educated on the law, and they got a lot of other brothers and sisters that just goddamn stand on a moment's notice. And so I would say that this is a prime opportunity. So I'm going in there with everything that the civil rights boys have, the civil rights, and they have the law and the Constitution and the lawyers. Well, I got that covered. But now we together, the Black Lawyers for Justice, the New Black Panther Party, and Black Nationalist Outfits, we must make a permanent change here. We must make permanent defense, permanent developments. And this can't be something where we just outrage for a minute. Now we have to come
That's
in
right.
and dig in and do some serious work. So I'm going to turn it over. I know the show is running out. I love you all. I honor and salute you. I'm going to get back to work. I see you on the ground, Black Power. Come on with me. If you're in the radio listening audience, and you're thinking about coming, you should come in and serve time. You should serve time on the battlefields with a black man and woman of fight that's worth the cause. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. All right, Black Power, Black Power. Man, we still rolling. We're still on the live stream right now. National Chairman, his line dropped off. Still on with you, Brother National Minister of Defense. Still on with all the callers. Y'all hang in there. We'll go into an overdrive. If you're listening, call in 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. It's live right now. We're in the battlefield, battle zone, and it's happening. Get on. You got about a minute left before the live stream cuts out. You won't be able to hear. But let's run through these calls and run through these callers. And Attorney Shabazz, you still on with us? If you're still on, you can take some of these callers.
I'm still here.
He might have disconnected. Okay, yes, sir.
Here.
You welcome. Yeah, you welcome to take some of these calls. We're going to an after drive. If let's go. All right, area code 909-749-909-749. You're live. Black Power Radio. We're talking about the Miriam, Missouri. Talk to us. You're on live with Attorney Malik Lucia Baza, National Minister of Defense, and myself. Black Power, welcome.
Brother Attorney Malik Shabazz, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good. This is Sister Nikki Love.
Hey, Nikki Love, what's happening?
What's happening? First of all, I want to commend the fact that we have our black attorneys doing what they're doing and fighting side by side with our militants and, you know, all that. My question for you, though, is, you know, we see this every day. And I know it may become overwhelming to the amount of killings that's taking place with our babies in the streets. How successful can our black attorneys be if you all still have to follow some type of law? And how successful can they be when I'm seeing these police officers still get off? Some of them anyway, because I know y'all can't take on everything, but some of them, and they still get off for killing our babies. Our babies are dying at an alarming rate every day by the hands of the police. So what is it, I mean, my thing is, what is it that y'all are doing, and what strategic plans are you coming up with, these attorneys, you know, because I love to hear that we have a lot of black attorneys, you know, doing their thing and fighting and helping, but how much are they listening to y'all, and what is it that you all could do? To
all right.
Because it's happening every day.
That's a good question. First of all, my dear queen, I want us all to understand that law and attorneys and the legal system of America in and of itself cannot provide liberation. It cannot provide salvation. and the black attorneys, no matter, even if they all were sincere and serious, and there are some who are sincere and serious, but even if they all were revolutionary lawyers, still by nature, the justice system, the criminal justice system of white America is not capable of delivering true justice to black people. So what am I saying, my sisters? The lawyers can have an impact. The lawyers can have a strong role. But in these cases, the lawyers cannot deliver comprehensive justice, but they can damn sure help. Right now, we have too many scared to death. We have too many compromising. We have too many lawyers who are not down. There's hardly any lawyers I know that are really down with the movement. Now, there are some lawyers like the Attorney Benjamin Crumpton and others, they are down with the civil rights movement. And we don't knock them for that. We commend them for that because they are some of the few lawyers that do work with activists. Most lawyers I know don't want a damn thing to do with a black activist. When they see a black panther and a black beret as an attorney, it could be the cold-bloodedest police killing case in the country. And they see a black panther with a black beret, they say, hell no. They go to the mama, they go to the family, they say, hell no, not those panthers. No. They don't want nothing to do with nobody that's talking self-defense, pro-black, or anything. And here's where the compromise usually begins. And so right now, my sister, a lawyer, typically in a case like this, they could win the family some financial compensation for the loss of their son. Okay, and we'll say that this, and we don't know what that son has done. And that family, I'm sure, and his children deserve some financial compensation. But this is more than about financial compensation, and this is more than just about one person or one individual. This struggle has to be tied, linked, and networked to all of the police killings across the country. And so it takes certain kind of attorneys that can do that. Attorneys, my dear sister, carry weight, carry influence, carry credibility into far sectors into the black community. Areas that the normal black nationalist or black militant can't reach. It is the attorney at law that in many different sectors, middle class sectors, whatever, bourgeois sectors, conservative sectors, civil rights sectors, Christian sectors, it is the black attorney that can reach all of them damn sectors. And if that black attorney happens to also have been a black panther, and he's trained by Khalid Muhammad and trained by Louis Farrakhan, and he's a Garveyite, and he's a student of Huey P. Newton, but he's wearing the outfit of a lawyer, then he's a goddamn dangerous weapon in the hells of North America if he can stay true to his principles. And do what? Come back and not be afraid to link with this black movement, this black power movement, with this rebellion that's out here in these streets. So I'm saying this, my dear sister. We can take the struggle to another level with the black attorneys if the black attorneys, if the right black attorneys get these cases. And I'm going to be clear with you on this radio listening audience here, anywhere in the hills of North America or throughout the world. I want to be clear right now for those who are listening to your brother, Attorney Malik Shabazz. When you hear that the police have killed one of our brothers and sisters, when they have shot us, when they have beat us, when they have attacked us, quick, fast, in a hurry, get to the family and link in Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Black Lawyers for Justice. Get there fast. Before a goddamn conspiracy go down and they put the wrong lawyers on the case and we go round and round in circles without getting true justice. You got to get them to obtain a lawyer that has no fear of the enemy and who's looking for a fight. And that is the man on this phone line. I'm out here looking for a fight, looking to rumble. And so, my dear sister, see, we don't want to be in the shadows no more. You don't want to be you don't want to always be the white sheep of the family or the way somebody got to explain away your presence. It is time now that our struggle go to another level. I have to get off the phone line and get my tickets together. My dear sister, the black lawyer with the black revolutionary, the black panther, the black nationalist, fighting side by side, will change this whole damn struggle. This change, this struggle has to go from civil rights to human rights and to black nationalism at the front. Thank you for listening. I got to go. Black power.
All right, black power, black power. And thank you for that question, Sister Nikki La. Let's open up some more calls. I know you got your comments on this issue with Brother Michael Brown and what's happening in St. Louis. We'll go to area code 347-984. You're on live Black Power Radio talking about murder in Missouri. Go ahead, talk to us.
Yeah.
Jump in.
Yeah. That's
347-984,
welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 18-3.
Turn Shabazz. Sorry about that. Turn Shabazz. Phone clicked off. All right, next call here. Here, call 864-909. You're on live. Black Power. We're talking about murder in Missouri. Your questions, your comment, please. Welcome, Black Power.
Yo, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
All peace and love, Black Power, Black Power. Yo, this is the brother
Black
Brandon
Power.
Daniels.
Black Power.
I was conversing with brother Elijah earlier today and yesterday, and I actually want to join the whole Black Power movement, the whole Black Panther movement, but the only situation is I reside in South Carolina. So I want to try to converse
okay.
with you guys and see like what we can set up.
Oh, that's easy. We already in North Carolina, so we just need to start in South Carolina, and people can help you there in the region. If you just and that's anybody that wants to support the movement of the new Black Panther Party and swell these ranks, like I was saying, to help this program, and that's 347-903-0886. 347-903-0886. Give us a call, brother, as soon as you can. You can even call that as soon as the broadcast go off, and we'll
right.
get your information and get the information to you right away. Get it to you as soon as we can.
All right, D. And just one more thing. Could you repeat that number for me?
Yes, sir. 347.
Okay.
903.
All right.
0886.
All right, I got it wrote down.
All right, and just give us that call. We'll get you, take care of you right away.
All right, thanks, man. Peace and love. Black Power.
Okay, peace and love. Black Power. And that's to anybody. Join that movement. We everybody to join the new Black Panther Party. That's for my people that know what's happening. Get in. Get trained. Next call, air code 904-768, you're on live, Black Power Radio, talking about murder in Missouri. Welcome to the broadcast. Your thoughts, questions, comments, please welcome Black Power.
Yes, sir. All peace. All praises to the Lord. Peace. Black Power, Habar Ghana. This is your national minister of education, so y'all need to recognize what's going on. Ain't no how you doing what's going on. Black Power, sir.
All right, Black Power. How are you?
Sir, brother, I'm your national
yes,
minister
sir.
Of education. You should be introducing me as such, but you don't even know I'm on the line. Brothers and sisters, we
Black
got a
Power,
revolution-style
hey.
Organization and strategy. An organization
yes,
strategy,
sir.
What
talk.
Nikki Love talked about. This ain't no plaything.
Talk,
so I'm on the line. I'm going
to
make
Muhammad.
My
talk to
fast,
it.
Sir.
Talk to
I'm going to make my point
talk
quick
to
and fast.
Yes, sir.
Only got 30 seconds. Is that right? My point is simply, education is styled by babies. If you can get to St. Louis, I mean not St. Louis, get to Ferguson, Missouri, get there. The propaganda has already started. The education is putting down information about the new Black Panther Party, not just the legal part, but also the education part, which is what to do when you're arrested by the police, the Black Parent Survival Guide. I'm not going to be long, but I'm saying we got to recognize who's in our midst. I mean, we're just going around in circles. I'm listening, and I'm saying, as Brother Hashim said, the reality is it starts with strategy and organizing, moving, and what Dr. Malik said. This is a rebellion. It's not a riot. They're going to put the misinformation out. Now, the question, are we going to be strategized and mobilized, or are we going to just be like a whole bunch of people divided? So we can be hard on this devil and hard on this enemy. One learned believer, one learned Black Panther, one learned is harder on this devil than a thousand ignorant people. That's what we need to know. You need to make sure you're kind. And I said before, give me a call, 904-613-0729. 904-613-0729. Got to mobilize and organize. And the Minister of Education is on the ground. We were in Augusta at the same time all this was going on, and some of us on the ground. I thank Brother Bobby and the Augusta staff for being on the ground with us, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Minister. James Muhammad, Brother, National Minister of Education, we appreciate what you're doing, Brother. You stay strong out there, Black man. We see you out there fighting and trying to keep that flame lit where you at. You do that, Brother. And I don't want nobody to extinguish your flame, Black man. Black Power to you.
Well, ain't nobody going to extinguish this flame, God. Peace. Black Power.
What I'm talking about. Next call, air code 718-221. 718-221. You're on live. Black Power, we're talking about murder in Missouri. Your thoughts on Brother Michael Brown and the execution live in the streets in St. Louis, Missouri. Talk to us, Black Power.
Sir, this is Elijah McDuffie.
Yes, sir.
Elijah McDuffie Judah, and I'm from New York chapter, and I'm calling in regards to that. But I also, sir, want to get a report on what happened this weekend. Yesterday we dealt with that situation with the sister getting choked out by the pregnant sister getting choked out by the police. We went down there with Brother Barron, covered down, and we went to the police department, which was 71st precinct, and we went down there and raised Black Power. And so this week coming up, we'll be dealing with the Garvey parade in Harlem. But we still stand on ground dealing with that situation with Eric Gardner out there in Staten Island. So we strong out here. We growing out here in New York, and we'll be showing you some pictures, sir, through the email, and showing you that we really growing out here, and people are sincere and they're growing strong, and they're really interested in joining the party. So we growing strong out here. That's all I want to say. Black Power, all power to the people.
Okay, power to the people. Black Power, appreciate that report. Next caller, Eric, call 347-768, 347-768, you're on live, Black Power Radio, talking about murder in Missouri. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power. Mike's open, can you hear us? Next caller, 773-960, you're on live, Black Power Radio, Murray in Missouri. What do we do about Michael Brown? What do we do about Buckwild Police? Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power,
773-960, your mic's open. Go ahead.
Black Power.
Black Power. We listen
Hello?
To you. Go ahead.
Peace, man. I heard everything y'all was saying tonight, man. Some good knowledge. One thing I want to add in there, I know the one brother was speaking about, you know, God and the whole nine. But definitely, you know, I'm ex-military, and definitely the cracker didn't train me up. You know, I ain't in it no more. But first thing we need to do is arm ourselves. You know, we got to prepare. You look at the news, you see this cracker coming out with tanks, dogs, weapons, everything. No matter all the talk, everything that everybody got to say, what we should do and what we need to do, you can't even defend yourself. You can't defend yourself. I mean, it's all for naught, you know. You know, marching ain't going to get it. Standing out there picketing, stealing stuff, riding, whatever they want to call it, it's not going to get it. First thing you need is defense. You got to arm yourself. And I think a lot of people don't focus on that. You know, we got all the gangs out there, they're shooting and killing each other, but they don't group together. They don't unite together to really focus on who their real enemy is. You know what I'm saying? A time like this is when you should see all the brothers uniting. You know what I'm saying? And the real leader, I ain't talking about like no Sharp and no Jesse Jackson or nobody like that, but I'm talking about a real leader who could channel all the frustration and all the people energy, you know what I'm saying, to get the people to actually defend their own community. Something like that, that's what we need. But, you know, a lot of people, they, you know, you don't hear a lot about it, but definitely got to arm yourself. You know, when you see that tank coming down the street, what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Standing out there with your hands up, ain't gonna get it. You know, so
right.
That's just something I think a lot of people need to focus on. Definitely sound prepared. You got to arm yourself. You got to prepare for battle because, I mean, 100%, man, it's a war, you know. And we ain't got no tanks, you know. We ain't got no aircraft, you know what I'm saying? So it's an uphill battle. So, but we definitely got to plan on how to get it, you know. And who's gonna ride with us, you know.
Exactly. We need brothers like yourself to fall in with that kind of training. You know, especially serving in the military, you know, you got to bring that fight here to the ground, and the fight is still on since obviously you're out of it. Now you see things for what it is, know what's happening. We got to make some serious strides and change for our own people. And you know, you have that potential to be like a Geronimo Pratt in 2014, and Geronimo Pratt, who was, you know, who ex warrior, ex soldier, and all of that. He helped them survive. You know, the shootouts and all that they went through, some underground moves and everything. So, yeah, we need your support. I think you are. Where you at, in Illinois?
Yeah, from Chicago, but I'm calling out of Norfolk, Virginia.
All right, so you in Norfolk, man. So if you can hunker down with the comrades and get down with us there in Norfolk, I mean, we could use your support, even if it's just on a tactical level or whatever level it is, because this stuff is sweeping the nation, and Pig Butati is everywhere. And it's not just in St. Louis, it's everywhere. So we're rallying the troops to unify and get together and to train. Like I say, cop patrols, pig patrols, neighborhood watches, self-defense, training camps, all of that. All of that's happening in St. Louis, and it got to happen in Norfolk, too. So make sure you hook up with us.
Oh, yeah. One more thing, because I ain't trying to take up too much of your time. But, I mean, everything you said, I'm already with. And one thing I want to add, y'all was speaking earlier about, which I said, something like finding out who the coons or who the infiltrators in the hood or community getting them out of there. I agree with you, that's 100%. But something else that anybody on the line thinking or listening needs to think about this. These people that, like, that's taking these videos, you know what I'm saying, like the one lady who got beat down or the brother who got shot, the brother who got choked out. The people who taking these videos, you got to look at them like an enemy also, because if you see your brother, you see your sister getting violated, and all you're doing is pulling out a cell phone, You're a traitor as well. You know what I'm saying? You ain't doing us no good. You know what I'm saying? You should lose your life or lose your freedom defending your brother or your sister, man. If you're just standing around with a cell phone, you have no value. You know? So people need to look at it like that, you know. Some go down, you know, yeah, grab it. Somebody got it recorded maybe. But if everybody just standing around watching one of your brothers or sisters get beat, come on now. You know, we gotta do better than that. You know, cats can't be scared, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're gonna lock you up anyway. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna beat you down, shoot you anyway. So you might as well go down for calls, you know. So you got to, you know, I think we need to start looking at these people that take these cell phones. Don't just stand around and just take a video. You know, you're doing us no good. So that's all I got.
That's good talk.
Black Power.
No, I appreciate you, Black Power. It helps in areas where you need the footage. That's why we say that, you know, with certain training, it needs to be two-pronged. It got to be somebody who's shooting the footage, also got to be somebody that's doing the defense. And like you say, in the case of the action, it got to be action took, it got to be action took. We appreciate you, soldier. Stay strong, warrior.
Yeah.
All right. Black Power. Next call here, Eric Coles, 214-245. 214-245, you're on live. Black Power Radio, we're talking about the murder of Michael Brown. We're in the trenches. Talk to us, your thoughts, questions, comments. Welcome, Black Power.
To the chairman, Hashim Nzinga, Black Power, to the chief of staff, Chun Kwali, Black Power, to attorney Malik Shabazz, I say Black Power. This is Commander Drew X with the Black Militia. We stand in solidarity with my brothers right here, the comrades, always on the front line. We've been watching your posts. We've been watching all your Facebook. Just shared the show on our militia page. I just want the Panther Party to know, hey, we in solidarity with you. We fed up, we armed up, we ready, we got y'all back. And this is serious, Sean. Anything happening to our brothers, we at war. I'll just put it out there. Black Power, we listen.
Black Power, that's a good thing. And we appreciate you taking the vanguard from the militia front. We for damn sure need you. Really, really, really could use you in St. Louis. Bright and early in the morning. I don't know how close you is, but really, I'd like to keep in touch. Give me a call, because we're gonna need some tactical moves we can't discuss on this line. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So hit me up, inbox me something so we can wrap.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Brother Sean, I didn't want to say too much because I get heated up, but I just want you to know we watching everything and looking at everything. We trained. We ready. We got travel funds. We got it all. You know, we can even make donations for y'all that's traveling. So we ready.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. We need it, man. I'm gonna hit you up because, like I say, we in motion. Black power, brother.
Yes, sir. Black power.
All right. Next call here, Eric Cole. 862-755-862-755. You're on live. Black Power. We're talking about murder in Missouri. Our brother Michael Brown shot down by the Ferguson pigs. Unarmed. Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sister.
Sister Melody from Black Lawyers for Justice.
All right. How are you, Melody?
I'm doing good. I'm attorney Malik Shabazz's direct assistant here in New York and New Jersey. And
mm-hmm.
I heard Attorney Shabazz speaking, and I back him 100%. And I want you to know, as Muslims, those Muslims who are listening, it is incumbent upon you as Muslims, when people make war on you, for you to fight back. We are at war. There is no doubt about it. Every year, we are burying children who are shot in the back, who are shot in the front, who are promising jewels of our future, who are being murdered. Our husbands are being murdered. Our fathers are being murdered. Open season on black people, period. They're choking out black pregnant women. This is ridiculous. The Quran says that if you believe in Allah, go against them, fight them by the thousands, and he will aid you. There is no way that black people should continue to sit by after being attacked again and again and again by these white devils, these janata, that we should sit here and continue to take this. And Barack Obama needs to grab his balls or grow a new pair, because this is ridiculous. You cannot change your skin color. And when you get out of that office of presidency, your skin color is still going to be black, and it's open season on black men, and they don't care if you were president of the United States of America. Your ass will go too. Okay? So tonight, I'm a little upset. I really usually don't curse, but I'm pissed off to the end. My patience has grown very thin, okay? And I can't, I know the Quran says that we should wait for the sounding of the trumpet, but I can't wait no more. The trumpet need to be sounded right now, because it's time.
That's heavy. We definitely have to fight with those that fight with us.
We got to, brother. If we don't, they're going to kill us one by one anyway. Death is something we're going to meet face to face. It is inevitable. It is not going to wait for you. It's going to be there in your face. When it's time for you to go, you're going. Okay? So all of these people who turning their back and acting like it's not going to happen to them, it's not going to happen in your neighborhood. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It might not be today, but it's waiting for you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's good teaching, Melody. You stay strong.
All right, my brother. You too. Black power. All power to the people. As Huey P. Newton said, arm yourself or harm yourself.
That's right. All power to the people. All right, it's pretty conclusive. Our people must understand this. Understand what we're saying. We're saying you got to organize. Bottom line, can't wish this thing away. I know we come from different schools of thought, different backgrounds, all of that, political ideologies, persuasions, and all of that. Bottom line is you're not oppressed or attacked because of any of that. You are attacked because you're black, so-called African in America, period. Bottom line. So as we talk, as black nationalists, you got to put your differences to the side and fight a common enemy. Put your differences to the side. That's what I'm telling you here in the trenches. Put your differences to the side and fight a common enemy and unite around a common cause. And so we need as many troops as possible on the ground. In St. Louis, right and early, first thing in the morning, we have a lot of things to do. I'm just going to say it like that. We got a lot to do in the morning and throughout the afternoon. For real, period. We have a lot to do. So all of you who can make it to St. Louis in the morning, you be there and organize with us on the ground. If you cannot make it there to the state of Missouri and, you just can't make it, then you organize wherever you are. Organize on the issues of police brutality, harassment, misconduct. Organize cop patrols and pig watches. Organize neighborhood watches. Organize to deal with even internal contradictions with so-called black-on-black violence and the things that happens to us. Organize, as the Honorable Kwame Ture used to tell us so many times over and over again, in any situation, organize, 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 organize. And so we're going to stand on that. We're going to organize. And y'all stay tuned to my Facebook page and our networks as we'll keep you abreast on what's happening out here in the field. So do our best to try to keep it to you moment to moment, minute by minute, hour by hour. As I'm saying, you're not going to get it on the national news. You're not going to get it on any kind of national radio. You got to come to either Black Power Radio or come to the new Black Panther Party and get it right from the Panther's mouth. You are in Panther territory. And so no fear at all. Any of the comrades, no fear at all. No matter what you see, any warriors out there, any of the troops, no fear at all. And, stand like a man, stand like a woman, walk like a warrior. All general orders in effect all across the nation. All general orders in effect. And so make sure that you are carrying out all orders and instructions and being especially watchful, period. And we will, by the grace of the God and our ancestors, we will survive. This is the hour that they begged for to see. And so they live through us. And so we say, I say for a victory already, in the spirit of Nat Turner, in the spirit of Denmark Vesey, in the spirit of Toussaint Louverture, I say already, in the spirit of Huey P. Newton, in the spirit of Bobby Hutton, in the spirit of George Jackson, I say, in the spirit of Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, in the spirit of Noble Drew Ali, in the spirit of Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I say, in the spirit of Minister Malcolm X, we already have that victory. And so any kind of force that comes up against our people, we're not worried. We already have the blueprint. We just got to act it out. So it is a police state. It's definitely a police state. It's a militarized state. So you got to keep a military mind and soldierly bearing and be especially watchful in whatever that you do. And so be clear. This is not a Negro revolution. This is not a Negro revolution. This is for black people. This is for people who are awake in this hour. If you're content on being a slave, then die with your slave master. Die with your slave master. The call is black power. It's black power for black people. It's power to the people. Remember what I'm telling you here in the trenches on the front lines. If black people are not free, there's nobody free. Black power.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercials. When the revolution comes,
revolution.
When the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forced supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.